from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Ground ball, pass to diving Altuve into right field, being waved around Kyle Schwarber. Here comes the throw, not in time. Phillies walk it off. Bryce Harper wins the game for Philadelphia 3-2 with a walk-off single just past the diving attempt of Jose Altuve.
Some tough losses on this road trip for the Astros. Add this one to the list.
I will, Blummer. I'm adding it to the list. That's
it's a Google Doc, Blum.
Wait, we keep it. That's right.
Listen, Boomer. It's all Google Docs these days.
Shared doc of all the heartbreak from this road trip. Yes.
Sean and I have our we have them power ranked, the heartbreaks from this road trip on a Google Doc.
Yep. If I were to power rank them, I would say the Grand Slam on Friday night was a bad one. Last night kind of sucked, man. Not going to lie. That was
Bryce Harper playing such a huge role in all of it. I mean, because Bryce Harper had a great defensive play, too, in the top of the 10th, where he snagged a Alex Bregman hit. And, like, it could have been a disastrous collision, an ugly collision, if he hadn't first done base. It just right. But he ran back across first base just before Bregman got there.
Yeah, yeah. Phillies have a lot of guys on their team that look homeless.
They do. Yeah, that pitcher, the pitcher who was out there for the 10th, he looked like a combination of Dave Mustaine and Nick Wright. It was there was a little bit of a mega
Nick
feel to it.
You look like half a homeless person. Sorry about that. Hey, man.
No, Nick before he got all coiffed up for television, look, he had kind of a Nick was just, he had that, Nick could have looked like an aging hard rocker.
He could have.
You know, if he had grown his hair long before and just not gotten all the three-piece suits and everything.
I think the way that they lost that walk-off last night, like when you lose, like losing on a home run really sucks on a walk-off, but when it's a hit and the ghost runner is rounding third, like I'd rather it be two things other than what it was last night. I'd rather have it be like a legitimately close play at the plate, or it's one that it's just not even going to be close to the outfielder, just lets it roll to the wall. The one that the outfielder is scooping and actually making a go of it, like a good sporting try at it, where you just know, like, crap, this guy's going to score. I don't know, man. It's just that feeling of the guy rounding third. We're like, I know this guy's going to score, and
Schwarber's,
this throw's not even going to be close.
And they did. You know, again, we were talking about Chaz earlier, and like, what the hell happened to Chaz McCormick? Their center fielder, Rojas, made a brilliant play to Rob Yiner.
Yes.
Credit to the Phillies, they made some great clutch plays in an extra innings game.
Yeah. They aren't playing the Red Sox anymore, man. But it's been, it's been like playoff baseball during this road trip. The two losses to the Orioles, really all, other than the 6-0 game that where Arrighetti won on Thursday night, it's all felt like playoff baseball, and so did last night. Obviously, in the playoffs, there wouldn't be a ghost runner on second. But here was Joe Espada after the loss last night.
Yeah, I thought we played well. You know, we were in the game there. We're 1 hit away from winning that game, but yeah, you know, that's what happens. You play these type of teams, and everything is close. Every play matters. Every pitch matters. Every at-bat, you know, matters. So, again, turn the page. Got another one tomorrow.
It's funny, you know, like we could go back and find a spot of audio, Seth, from April and early May when this team stunk, and those were the answers. Those were the answers he was giving after those losses. And yet, I know I was. I was so mad. I'm like, come on, man. You're losing all these games. Get a little angry. It was just a hit here and a hit there. But now it's like, well, they got a 3.5 game lead. You get Joe, you get immunity. That's fine. You can give us the hit here, hit there. Because he's right. You know, he is right. Like, these are games that have been played down to the wire. It's just funny. Like, however the team's doing, like, when they lose a game like that, like, fine. Acceptable answer. You're good.
You know what? You know what it is, though, too? I think the Astros... In their losses against these against good teams, I haven't felt like the Astros have wilted in the moment or in the big moment. I think they've made their share of brilliant plays and what have you. So I'm a little bit I don't know, maybe I'm a little too philosophical about the Astros right now, but just because of where they are in the standings, the close games don't hurt as much because I feel like somehow, some way, They started Caratini for his first time in his career at first base. He's played there before this year, but that was his first start. The Astros have played 9 guys at first base this year.
Yeah.
They've got a smattering at any given time. There's usually at least 2 minor leaguers that you're only minimally aware of their existence before this year. They're out there playing for this team that's leading the division. And somehow they figure out a way to get it done. Honestly, my biggest issue right now... And the weirdest thing is that Jeremy Pena is not a good fielder. Like
Jeremy Pena, and he's hitting the cover off the ball lately.
Like, right. I don't. I mean, on the season, he's a negative. He's a minus run value fielder.
Yeah.
And it didn't hurt them in the first inning last night, but he botched what could have been a double play. It's strange. That part of it's just really weird.
Yep.
You think about it, bats go dry, right? Yeah. What do you always say? Like, hey, you know what? Even Bregman, when he goes through his incredibly long slumps at times, at least he's giving you so much value in the field, and that's more consistent.
Yeah.
Basketball, it's the same way. You can always play defense. For whatever reason, Jeremy Pena can't play defense this year.
It's wild, man. Yeah.
While still making some incredible plays at times. It's not like he's lost the capacity to make the really good plays, just so many more errors and missed opportunities.
I'm excited for tonight. Little Verlander and Nola action tonight. I don't know how long JV is going to go in this game, but that's a two names on the marquee thing. Like, that's a butts in seats kind of game. You know, like I would pay to go see this game kind
of
thing.
You know, and I like honestly all of the previous harassment of Kate Verlander aside. It's a fun environment up there. It's a fun environment.
Yeah. That's where she got chippy with some fans in the World Series.
She did, but you know what? It turned out when she flipped off that fan, I think it was at the fan's request, because that was after Verlander had playfully flipped off a Phillies fan, and it was remember, somebody was yelling at Verlander at the buses, and he flipped the person off, but like Philadelphians being Philadelphians, they looked at it as like a love gesture.
Yeah.
So it turned out that was actually a playful moment.
Yeah.
But still. Yeah.
Text message. This goes back to a texter saying that, hey, the Texans are veering into territory where they're becoming one of the most hated teams in the NFL, to which I think we both feel like good. You know, it means hate means relevance. And good point by a texter here. Team hate is a good thing. See Astros. 2 World Series, 7 straight ALCSs. Now, I think part of the... Part of the hatred for the Astros is that they are perceived to have been the sole team to have cheated to get there.
No.
Perceived
no,
to have
Sean.
Been, yeah.
They don't. Everybody's come around on that.
Have they?
Okay. Now they're plucky. They're plucky and scrappy. They'll do what it takes.
They are actually now plucky and scrappy.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. That's the shame
sad part.
Of it.
Yeah.
They are plucky. They always have been. And obviously, for anybody that's new to the show or something, we're not those people that we know that the being better than everybody else scandal.
Sham.
I'm like, okay, honestly, quick synopsis. Really, honestly, the only reason that any of that was ever released to the public, like, or that people talked to reporters about it, was because there was a perception in baseball that, look, okay, a lot of people were doing stuff in 2017, but then they cracked down on it. But because the Astros were still so good offensively, people thought or assumed, well, they must still be doing it. They couldn't possibly be this good. So that's the injustice of it all, but regardless.
Yeah.
And Kate Upton, by the way. I don't know why I said Kate Verlander. I couldn't, because I was about to say Kate Hudson, and I had to reverse track so I could give myself a bell at the end of this segment, so I just said Kate Verlander.
She may be on their marriage license, Kate Verlander, you know what I mean?
I thought that I had seen that she had changed her name, but she's still, no, her Instagram is still Kate Upton and everything.
It's a stage name now.
She'd kind of made a name for herself
before she met
Justin.
People knew who she was,
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
People still texting in about the Texans roster here. Okay. This is a funny text. Let's play D'Amico one more time. Ben asked about the spot on the roster. Did you see enough from Mechie and Damian Pierce to put them on this team?
We still have a lot of things to work through when it comes to the roster. And when you talk about those guys specifically, Mechie and Damian, I think both guys, they've done really well in practice settings and also in the game. So both guys I've seen, I know what those guys are about. I know who they are as people. And so, but we'll see, you guys will see those decisions here over the next couple of days. So
someone texts in, is there a different Damian on the team that we're not aware of?
I think that it's funny when, there are teams out there that really like the potential of Damian Pierce. They love everything he's made of. They think back to him running without a helmet in college. All those things about Damian, the reasons we still love Damian. I hate that I have to talk about him like this sometimes. And then I get in arguments and I'm speaking with a tone of voice that I don't want to use when I'm talking about Damian. Because I think I love that kid and everything he is as a worker and his energy and everything else like that. But when other teams are talking to the Texans about Damian, and and they're going to say, look, we've seen these seven carries of his, and I know the blocking hasn't been good, but this doesn't look like the same guy. Are the Texans then saying, well, can I interest you in some practice footage?
Yeah.
Where, but only select ones where he's not falling down after getting thudded.
Right.
Ones where he's running really well and he's crisp and he's decisive.
Yeah.
There's still something there.
Look at him plant the
foot. How
about
the practice footage in non-full contact football?
Yeah. Look at him plant the foot right there. You got to want this.
Yeah, sure. A guy whose calling card is physicality maybe shouldn't be judged based on how he does in non-tackle football. But still, here we go.
Text message. This is an interesting one. Guys, I keep hearing about offensive linemen missing assignments and not getting to the second level, but I still don't know the name of the O-line coach. It really sounds like a coaching problem. His name is Chris Strasser.
Yeah.
And at what point does this fall at his feet?
Okay, now, for one, not until the regular season, that's for sure. Two, I'm holding a little bit in reserve on the offensive line for a couple reasons. One is that I do think that Scruggs and Kenyon Green and Blake Fisher did some really good things at times in the run game this preseason. There are also the first couple times they faced teams that run a 3-4. That's something they hadn't seen before in camp, and I do think that there's times where Bobby Slowick, I think you want to see guys adjust to non-ideal situations. Because there were some situations in the run game where I, like, Clint Cerner and I were talking about this. We were sending out some of the run plays to, like, various offensive line gurus that we know and trying to break down exactly, like, okay, why are they blocking it this way, or is this a mental error? And there's some things they were doing that are a little bit funky that I wouldn't put on the offensive line coach, but that are really, really, really hard to do. So it doesn't make me feel any better in the moment, but there's a good possibility that it was almost like non-ideal by design, and they wanted to see what the guys could handle. So that doesn't, I'm not trying to tell you to make you feel better about it. It's just that these are the things that happen in the preseason that don't tell the whole story. So I'm not going to start lambasting Chris Strausser unless we get through halfway, you know, a few games into the regular season, and the running game is a real issue.
Yeah.
And they never did have all five starting offensive linemen out there in the preseason, or they only did for a limited amount. No, because Laramie didn't play.
Yeah, so
they never had all five starting offensive linemen.
That's right. Laramie never played in a game. That's right.
Yeah.
Do you have to text message? Do you have to take into account that Akers was going up against second and third stringers while Pierce was going up against starters? I don't. I'm just looking at the way in which Cam Akers ran. You know,
just with
the physicality and the wiggle that he had. You know,
right, right. And like with Damian, the standard is higher because you remember a good running back. It's not. This is never over the course of seven carries. That's still very, very limited, but. Damian Pierce, if he's running the way Damian Pierce runs, at the very least, if the blocking isn't perfect, he's still knocking somebody back. He's still breaking a tackle. Just once could you break a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
He averaged 1.1 yards per carry on seven runs, and I don't think ever once looked like the old Damian Pierce.
No.
Whether the blocking is good or bad. And on a couple of those plays, the blocking wasn't perfect, but other backs would have gotten something out of it. Other backs would have gotten positive yardage out of it. So, no, I don't. I really don't put as a. Now, is it the fact that those other guys were going against backup defenses? Right. I hold it in reserve a little bit. I don't think that it's 100% slam dunk that any of those guys can do it versus starters. But that's why I also look at it a little bit of a wasted opportunity that none of those guys ever ran behind the starters on offense.
Right.
It was always Damian Pierce. When the starting offense was in the game, it was always Damian Pierce. I worry that maybe D'Amico and Caserio do just genuinely feel that Damian's okay. And I would just be really surprised if that's how they felt.
All right, a couple things here. We're going to be giving away four tickets to the Cougs opener against UNLV in the 9 o'clock hour. So be listening for that in the 9 o'clock hour. Up next, one of my favorite articles of the year, the Mike Sando of The Athletic, his QB tiers, T-I-E-R-S, where he pulls together votes from executives, coaches, scouts, ranks the quarterbacks. These are fun to read now because we've got a quarterback that's highly ranked. What tier did C.J. Stroud land in? Who's ahead of him in the NFL tapestry of quarterbacks? We'll tell you. Coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.